Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
For he is a faithful God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. He has not given our souls over to death. It was not that the devil did not try you. But you see, underneath are the everlasting arms, where they prepared for you to fall was where God put his hands. Listen, if you can't praise him, so who will? We just need two grateful people this morning. Just two grateful people. Listen, don't apologize for your praise. If only the Lord permits you to see what has happened in your life in the last 1 week, you will not apologize. You will not apologize. Listen, this service, maybe we will preach, maybe not. But today, the preaching is not as important as your praise. You know why you can't respond? It's because there's no revelation. Yeah. It's because there's no revelation. I wish I could say some things, but we are on camera, so I don't want anybody to, you know, I don't want to put out very sensitive information. But I can tell you for free. I can tell you for free that the person standing here before you is a child of grace. Yes. And let me tell you, I don't apologize, and I will not apologize, that God loves me. You don't need to accept me. They don't need to accept you. What is most important is that they know your voice in the realm of the spirit. And anytime you raise that voice, they know their child is around. Hallelujah. God doesn't look at your certificate before he recognizes you. He doesn't look like, what kind of job does she do? He doesn't care. Those things are for you. It's not for him. There was a poor man that prayed. God heard him. Rejected a rich man. But in Hades, when people died, the a place was called Abraham's bosom. Abraham was a rich man. They did not name Hades or a portion of Hades after a poor man. It was Abraham. But for you to know that God is no respecter of persons, the person that came out from there was a poor man. The man said, let us ask him if he can go and help us tell our brothers that hell is real. So that Jesus said, if they don't believe the prophets, even if a man comes from the dead, they will not believe. But the place was called Abraham's bosom. But the person that we saw there was a poor man. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. There's a lot for us to be grateful for. All you have to do is just sit down, look back. Do you know how many of your friends started businesses the year you started them? Do you remember how many of your friends say, oh, by this time, so yeah, I'll be in this place, and they are no more here with us today? Do you remember when you were on admission and you didn't know what to do with your life, and you are here today? Abba. We give you glory. We say come, and day. See that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who trust in you shall never ever be moved. You say, God, yeah, you say, God. Listen, some people think you're a fool for following Jesus. But if Jesus tarries, peradventure he comes this year. But this is one of the songs I would like to sing as I walk towards him. That my hope was not in vain. I don't know how many years I'll be here for, but let me tell you, when I see him and I see him beckoning to me, that would be my song. It's amazing. The beauty of the Christian faith is when our eyes finally behold him, and then our joy will become full. That's the joy of a Christian. Say, oh. Aha. Those who put their trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion that can never be moved. Most faithful God, the Most High God, our King, our Father, we are here to say thank you for your faithfulness and your tender loving care. And we return all the praise to you as a house, as individuals, as families. We've come to say thank you. And we ask that, Lord, today our gathering shall be unto you, and you alone will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 6 very briefly while we are still standing. Verse 6. chapter 6 from verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one, the word seraphim is plural. So the singular is seraph. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Please take your seats. Now you must understand, as a child of God, what the scriptures suggest to us as divine possibilities. As a child of God, you must understand that there are certain things that constitute your right in Christ. That when the scripture says to us that come boldly before the throne of grace, it was describing Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord wanted us to be able to come into his presence and have a throne room experience. Are you with me? The Lord wants us to have throne room experiences. Because you see, there is something about, there's a faction many years ago, and we still have a few people in that faction, where they have a popular term called sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. And that movement came up because there was a lot of abuse in the body of Christ, and there was no standard. So the elders of those days recommended that the church should go back to the scriptures alone. In other words, the authority of scriptures. That's what sola scriptura means. However, some also recommended that we should embrace scriptures with traditions, which means that there are certain things that without our traditions, and you know, Paul spoke about our traditions. There were certain things Paul said. He would say, we do not have this tradition in the church. So there are certain things that were not necessarily doctrines, but they were acceptable traditions. Also, somewhere in that equation is that a person may be following the scripture, but be having a different experience in his life, such that you are born again, you are delivered by the blood of Jesus, but you are still going through certain things in your life for which really does not correlate. It doesn't agree with what the scripture says about who you should be in Christ. So we are able to make provision for this differential under traditions. One of our traditions, some of our traditions are also based on scripture. Now, for instance, when we refer to worship, the best way to set a standard for worship is to look at how worship is being done in heaven. Now, you will see from these few verses that worship in heaven is not necessarily solemn because they shouted. This does not mean there is no solemn worship in heaven, but there is provision for both to coexist. Sometimes you may be spending some time with the Lord, and the Lord will just tell you, don't be loud, be quiet. And you are praying in your room, nobody knows what you are doing. However, at some other point, the Lord will ask you to give the shout of victory. So it is wisdom for you to know what the Lord is saying to you per time. There is a worship culture in heaven. And in fact, worship is so important, because some people came out some time ago and said that we are not supposed to have music teams in the church. We are not supposed to have choirs. It's not scriptural. I agree. There was no choir in the days of Paul. Neither was there any choir in the days of Peter. However, before Jesus was crucified, he sang a hymn. And he was the one who led the hymn. I don't know who composed the hymn, but there must have been something that they sang. That's at the Lord's Supper. He sang a hymn. He was going to die. He still sang. Which means being able to sing and rejoice in God's presence may not be an issue for God. And let me take it a step further to tell you that there is a culture of worship in heaven. And there is a special team created by fire known as the seraphims. Separate creatures. We categorize them as angels, but are they really angels? No. Under the angelic order, they are categorized, but they are not really angels. They are called seraphs, burning ones. That means when they come close to you, you feel heat, which is why a lot of people in church feel fire when they're in the presence of God. But it's not the Lord, though. It's just a seraphim. Seraphims can interact with human beings. We saw the way they interacted with Isaiah. They didn't talk too much. They addressed his problem. You want to stay amongst us? You want to use this, your mouth, to praise God? Then we must purify it. You can't, if you want to stay with us, you can't mix Nicki Minaj on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then sing Nathan Ebasi on Sunday. You will be taken out. Here, there's only one song that we sing. It's called Holy. I am trying to explain to you why many of the excuses we have made, they are for us. God does not understand. So today you will make a decision. If your goal is to be among these seraphims in worship, if your voice will be mentioned among that number, you must consecrate your voice to the worship of the Lord. Is it a sacrifice? Yes. And I can even take it a step further, if you won't say that I am being too religious, to tell you that on your wedding day, you will not play some energy song. If at all, I did not say you don't have to. I said if at all you have made a covenant with the Lord to be at that level, that which is approved among men is no longer your approval. Please hear me. I did not say you cannot dance to love songs, marriage songs. What I didn't say that. I said if you decided to covenant with the Lord, you will explain to your wife that, please, this is our wedding. It will be holy, holy, holy to the Lord. There's one wicked DJ that we brought for Pastor David's wedding. Pastor David, I mean, wherever you are, your ears will be ringing now because I'm calling your name. The guy waited for Pastor David to get to the, almost to the to the front of the, to the stage. He now changed the song. Meanwhile, they warned him that he must play only Christian song. The guy just changed it to something. I saw his face. Ah, I said, Pele, Pele. I said, they have caught you. You would have put me on that. I said, hey, return that song. Return the last. Hey, remove. The guy was trying to use Pastor David's event to showcase his talent for the next client. Question. Among all the very terrible creatures in the heavens, why are seraphims the closest to God? You are not getting the gist, though. Imagine God, this is the throne room. Imagine God is here. And the seraphims, they are not one, they are not two. Multitudes. Can you imagine the kind of choir that stands? Do you think God's throne is a one-room apartment? You know, when you see a vision and say, come boldly, you think he's just alone in a room, and then you come. I came to tell you, he doesn't live in a one-room apartment. And he doesn't live in a mansion. He doesn't live in a castle. The scripture says, heaven and earth cannot contain him. I want you to imagine that if God wanted to create anything, will he create one or will he create millions? I want you to imagine the number of the seraphims. And only one spoke to Isaiah. Please put up Isaiah chapter 6. Go back to verse 1 or 2. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. Now, high and lifted up means that that throne does not touch the ground. Are you with me? Are we agreed? High and lifted up means, so who carries the throne? That is the function of the cherubims. They bear the throne. Do you remember that when God gave them the... you know the Ark of Covenant? It was to be carried by what? Priests. Right? It was a mirror of what happens in heaven. God's throne does not touch the ground. Is that ground? He is God though. That ground is not holy enough for him. That ground is holy, but not... I want you to see how selective. I cannot marry you. You don't eat fish. You don't... I came to tell you that... what do you eat? God is very selective. He doesn't eat anything. Selective. So how did you prepare this? Where did you prepare it? How did you prepare it? What's the motive? Where's the heart? Where is there anything here? Is there that? Where are you coming from? Came from Chike's house, and you heard Mike and said, let us begin to from Chike's house. I said in heaven. His throne doesn't touch the ground. You didn't pay attention. You thought that throne was on the... When I begin to talk to you about the cherubims this week, you will understand that that thing that they normally would do, where the priest would bear the ark, they were only modeling the activity of the cherubims who carry the throne on their shoulders. Question, how big is that throne? If heaven and earth cannot contain him, how big exactly is God? And how many angels do we need to carry that throne? The scripture says that he's high and lifted up, and his train. Excuse me, the train is what? Is it like the one at the train station here? No. It's what? What does the train mean? Look at that. The procession is the... When our brother was getting married, there was a train. The couple, the ministers, the family. That's how we proceed. That's the train. I'm not part of your bridal train, no, but he had the bridal train. Everybody filed out. So when they said his train filled the temple, what that means is that as he was coming, the 24 elders were behind him. The seraphims, the cherubims carrying the throne, the top angelic beings. There are creatures that are referred to as the wild beasts. You will see them, beasts with eyes all over them. Some of them with four faces. Creatures. You can't even call them animals. Creatures. Some of them walk. It's not Lord of the Rings, so these are more terrible. I want you to imagine, because the white man told you, they gave you a picture of a white man. I came to tell you the things that are scary about God are not even his skin complexion. You can imagine God is coming, because some people will get to heaven and say, sorry, is this hell or heaven? Because they will be shocked that when Jesus appears to you in a dream and he comes alone, it's for your safety. If he comes with creatures with four faces doing like this. What was this? What are these kind of spirits? The cherubims, the seraphims have just one face. The cherubims have what? Four faces. which means they are not required to turn. On one side is the face of a man. On one side is the face of a lion. On the other side is the face of an ox. On the other side is the face of an eagle. All representing four dimensions of God's power. The eyes of the eagles talking about immense strength, power over the air, and the ability to see. The power to see beyond any man. Talk about the ox. Talk about the spirit of industry. The power to do business. Eh? Business acumen. It's not every anointing that has to do with preaching. Come on now. The Lord may anoint you, and you will fall under the anointing, but it was for Bezalel. Not for preaching. Then we have what? The eagle, the ox, and what? The lion. Talking about his kingship, rulership over his domain. And we talk about the face of a man reflecting his humanity. That despite God's amazing weight of strength and wisdom, he can relate to you like a man. And you will not see those other side of him. You will say, Father, I'm discouraged. You say, don't be discouraged. The person talking to you has four faces. If he shows you the face of the ox, the next thing you say, I bind them. So let me give you the one. That's why you dreamt and you saw me. I wasn't the one you saw. But God gave you something whose presence communicates comfort. Because I was at home sleeping and I slept. If you have not been seeing me in your dream, so what have you been doing? All right. I also have a theory, though I don't emphasize it. I have a theory that it's very possible your personal angel looks like you. Yes, because when Peter was knocking at that door, that the church members told him that is the person look that he looks like him because that's his angel. So they had an understanding then that your angel looks like you. But leave it. It's not a major doctrine. Just leave it. But it's a theory. And it's there somewhere. Why would God demand orderliness from us? Because God cannot fit into disorder. Before you marry a man, before you say yes to him, check his reverence for God. Does he fear God? He may be very nice, but a nice man is a dangerous man if he doesn't have the fear of God. One day, Pastor Tunde Bakre had been teaching on certain series, and if you listen to Tunde Bakre those years, he had some very powerful messages. He said he was about to get on the altar to preach. Continuing this, the Lord said, don't preach today. Go and take care of your people. They are hurting. All this, we're cataclysmic dimension against the nation, against the... Today, take care of these people. You see that one you have been saying? It's okay. We have heard. Your people are crying. They are in pains. He said, look, come and see the prophetic anointing on him that day. Oh, people were being set free. Why? He was able to listen to God. It's good to prepare a message, but it's best to speak from the heart of God. I am here to tell you this morning that if you can reorder your space in the place of worship, God can do serious business with you. A man who is given to the worship of God can never be bound. A man whose heart always has a song for Jesus can never be bound. Because God will always inhabit the praise of his people. And it's not just a song. Songs are spirits. You can condition your atmosphere. You can regulate your atmosphere. Don't be a passive worshiper anymore. Every time you sing, let the song rise from your inside. Don't sing because of the melody. Sing because indeed you have a song. Listen to me, whether you are a child, whether you are an adult, there are certain things God cannot resist. He cannot resist authentic praise. He's drawn to it. Authentic worship, he is drawn to it. I know you want to pray for 7 hours. Can you take some time just to love him? Just to worship. Let the expression on your face show that you're being here. If this is the only thing he wants today, you are happy to give it. Do you know why the praise of human beings are so important to God and very different from that of angels? Angels don't have challenges. They don't have problems. They don't have marital problems. They are not broke. The scripture says the angels look at us and they always marvel, because we appear very weak to them. You just live here, 40 years he's dead, 70 years they say he has died. They live forever. They are not afraid of death. They are not afraid of their landlord sending them out. They are not afraid of the traffic. Huh? The things for which we would labor for years just to build one house and then live inside for 5 years and then your children inherit it. It's not their concern. So for them, worship is what they do. But for you, you might have just gone through some very serious heartbreak or some challenges. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you suddenly realize that there's no career prospect in that thing you are doing. Maybe your business failed. Maybe you lost a loved one. And then you stand and say, can never, never be moved. The angels will just come. Wow. Wow. She's worshiping. They never get used to it. With tears in your eyes. How is this possible? After all she has been through. It's an amazement. It's an amazement. Your worship is most profound in your season of pain, not in your season of happiness. When you are able to lift a song to God, when everything around you is saying no, 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 and you are still able to say, can never, never be moved. Can never ever be moved. If you can rapala your way into the presence of God, a seraphim might attend to you like Isaiah and say, you are here today. Today you are purified. And then you find your ministry. Isaiah found his ministry when he rapala into the presence of God. You can take away everything I have, but please, can you leave my Jesus with me? Can you just leave him? Don't convince me not to worship him. Though I know you know Greek and Hebrew, but please, can you not try to convince me not to stop dancing? I know worship is of the heart, but is it okay if you just allow me move my body? Because I know you know the Rema, the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. Can you just, please, don't talk about this area of worship, because the last time you spoke to me, I stopped praying. So if you talk to me now, I will stop worshiping. So please, leave me alone. Please tell your neighbor, leave me alone. But there are people, you listen to them and they sound so mentally, cerebrally upright. And every time they speak to you, you lose something. You lose something that represents your commitment and your consecration to God. You just notice that, Dr. D.A., since I started listening to you, I could no longer worship. No one will take my worship. No one will take my praise. My praise belongs to God. In the name of Jesus. You see, God left us a pattern, a strategy. When you look at all these scriptures, you know that for someone as busy as God is, he doesn't start his day without worship. And if you are not willing to sing well, don't come. Oh, leave the space for those who are serious. And the angels keep doing the same thing throughout eternity and they are not tired. Why? Because it takes revelation to worship. God is new every day. Look at the way. Put up that scripture. I want to show you something. He said the train filled the temple. Next verse. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. With 2, he covered his feet. And with 2, he flew. Now, I want to emphasize on the flying. These angels were not just walking or strolling. They were levitating in the air above the throne. They were worshippers. Their worship created an atmosphere around the throne. Their worship was the atmosphere for divine oxygen. The atmosphere that God only breathes. Where God himself told us that he inhabits the praise of his people. You can pray and God will send an angel. If you praise, God himself will show up. Yes. If you pray, God can send an angel. But if you praise him from your heart, he will come. Because God cannot resist. He has a weakness with praise. It's like be an honey. He cannot resist it. That is if you are doing it with revelation. The Bible says praise him with understanding. Don't praise him because it's a trending song. Praise him with understanding. These seraphims will stay in the air. And I dare tell you there are millions of them like that. Can you imagine the energy created by 1 million worshippers, 500 million worshippers as they worship? When church first started, there was a song that Tolu Akunwa, she just stood here and she began to sing it. I don't know if Femi was here then. She stood and she just sang, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God, who sits upon the throne. We worship you." Those are old Harvest World songs. And we will sing that song during praise worship in this church. 30 minutes, that's the only song. And you see the power of God moving. Don't worry, we will rehearse it with you. Those are, we'll package some of those songs and call it the song of the first order. To be an album, the song of the first order, because those are the first songs. And you know, you just see these angels with such energy, and they'll sing, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God." Can you imagine 100 million voices singing that one song? "We worship you. Holy, 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 holy are you, God, who sits upon the throne. We worship you." That was what Isaiah stumbled into. He met a ceremony. He met a worship event. There was a ceremony and he saw the archangels above the throne of God in reverence, in worship. And they spread their wings across the throne. And then as they were worshiping, they noticed there was a stranger in their midst. It was a prophet. Ah, but this one is not clean. Oh yeah, yeah, go attend to him. The scripture tells us that there was a live altar in the presence of God that had fire on it. Huh? There was, before God's presence, there was an altar of fire with coals. And the angel went there, picked one of the coals with a tongue. "You cannot stay, we have to operate on you. This is not a time to say, hey, stand where." "Alebara sote." you can, how do you describe this kind of experience to someone who has not had it before? That you were in God's presence and they use a burning red flamed coal and they touch, they put it on your tongue and say you have been purified. I don't think Isaiah was chewing it like ice. I don't think that thing was ice. I think that thing must have been burning. It must have had some effect. Say, if nobody will lay hands on me, I will never fall. You've not seen fire. Fire has not touched you. If it's the kind that touched Isaiah. Eh? You know, the man has been talking since. When that angel spoke to me, he couldn't answer. Because fire was on his tongue. That is what happens to many of you when you have some of those experiences you have in service. It's just that you didn't see the angel, but there was a tongue of fire. I am telling you, just find your way there. Find the gates. You have been given a privilege. A privilege that Satan knows he lost. A privilege he will rather you don't know about. It's not just about the song. They are experiences. You were not called to live a normal Christian life. That when you wake up in the morning and you raise your song on your bed, oh, they should know that an earthly seraph has woken up. And there are men who would know this dimension. They may not be loud, but I've seen one or two of them. And one of them is my father-in-law. He will tell you he doesn't know how to pray long prayer. He got born again very late in his life. Well, see, that is Shekere. I don't know who the man will bequeath that Shekere to when he dies. The man is 83 or 84 now. But you will never come to his house before you go. He will say, let's praise. And he does it at night too. He will tell you he wants to do praise vigil. Huh? And when he carries Shekere, you hear, he has popularized that song. Everybody in the family, that's his song. That's his song. We cannot have a praise fellowship without singing that song. And when he does it, he will hold the Shekere. There's a way he beats it. You will know he has been beating that thing for a long time. This is an old man calling another old person father. This man has grandchildren. All his children are doing well. But he says, before God, he is a child. Excuse me, if that type of a man dies and go to heaven, they say, please, what department do you... He say, are you asking? When I was on head, he just shake it up. Please, put me in the choir. Sir, you cannot sing. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Do you have shekere? Do you have a tambourine here? Say, okay, that's fine. I'll be beating tambourine for you. The man is so excited. Look, let me tell you. The keys that some people found in God first started as interest. Yes. Then it became passion. Yes. Then they did not realize they had dug a well. Then they found the key. I am telling you that this thing that God wants to do in your life may first start as an interest. Let me try and develop my prayer life. Let me try and worship God. Pastor said we should worship God more. Let me try and start worshiping God more. And one day, while doing that, you will stumble into a live session in heaven. And you will meet creatures. Excuse me. Unfortunately, I wanted to create some of those animations and present it today, but no time. Excuse me, when you imagine a seraphim, don't imagine an angel that is white or covered in light. That is not a seraphim. That's an angel. A seraphim is covered with fire. And they are very huge beings. Can you imagine someone like twice my height or thrice my height? And when he stands before you, you just see fire emitting out of his body. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody stays close to... I mean, somebody called me from another country and he said, oh, I was listening to your online service. I was in church that the Pastor David preached. He said, there's a pastor that preached on Sunday. I said, yes, Pastor. He said, he was speaking exactly like... I said, David doesn't talk. He said, if I didn't look at the camera, I would not have known it was not you. I said, really? I called David. I said, somebody reported you to me. We started laughing about it. I don't think David talks like me. But the guy said, he was at the airport trying to come back to Nigeria, and he heard our live stream. He was watching it, and he said he thought I was the one until he looked at the screen. What am I trying to describe? There is something that happens to you by proximity. You may not even know something has changed, but let me tell you what changed. Your authority level changes. Your influence changes. The pattern of speech changes. That when you become so close, it's just like when I started working in the bank, I was wearing black shirt, black trouser with pink tie. That's what I wore to the office. And the man comes and says, "Okay, we are not mourners here. We don't mourn. And we are a business. If we send you to our customers and you are dead, we are not in insurance business. But look, Oga, where are you from Ondo State?" Say, "Okay, I will permit you today. Tomorrow, I don't want to see this. What is this?" Me like, "What is this talking about?" Because I was coming from a village where, when I was the choir leader in my church, then, do you know I used to be a choir leader? That's to show you how terrible the situation became. There was nobody in the church again, in that Redeemed Church, to lead the choir. So I became the choir. And so what I did, I crammed all my songs. "Have you heard what the Lord has..." Brother Ayu Ajayi was my drummer. So we understand ourselves. "He has destroyed..." We knew the song. It didn't matter. There was nobody to sing. I beat my drummer at the Holy Ghost. Oh, goodness. There was nobody else. So God found me. But I came with my old cloak. It was so obvious I was a stranger amongst Lagosians. Because my office was not at Mushi. It was not at Ajegunle. It was in Victoria Island. "So I'm the new staff that they sent here." "Okay, go and sit down. Is that why you are dressed like this?" "We should calm down. I'm part of you. You are not part of us. You just keep. We are not sure if you'll be part of us with the way you are dressing like a mourner. Are you mourning?" 3 months later, I by reason of proximity, I just noticed. Pastor Desmond said, "No, I can't wear this suit." "Ah, no, I can't wear this suit." Desmond said, "Oh boy, now what do they wear?" I said, "I know if you wear it." He said, "You know they change." I said, "I know if you wear it. This one we wear. You don't wear this one. This one is for pastors. This is what we wear. You know." I started. "No, you must have faintly striped." I started speaking grammar. Let me tell you, the reason why many of you struggle with some of the things I say, you think they are very hard, is because of your proximity level. Yes. There's a level, as you begin to get close to God, you will just realize, something has to go. You will drop it yourself. It may not be a requirement for, time has gone. It may not be a requirement for others. You people did not look at the time. You are just enjoying the message. I will preach like this to 12. Better give me 5 minutes more. One thing I want to bring to your understanding is that when the seraphims spoke, the scripture says that the posts began to shake. That's somewhere in verse 4. Say the posts of the temple began to shake at their voice. I want you to see that effect. I don't want you to get to heaven and realize that you are not prepared. There must be nothing you see there. Look at it. He said, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried." There was one of the servants that cried, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God." The doors, everything began to shake. Go back. He said, "And everywhere was filled with smoke." Go back to verse 5. Verse 4. He said, "And the whole house was filled." That smoke is not from a firewood. That's the glory of God. What in Greek is called the kabod. The kabod.
this kind of glory never shows up in a place where God has not validated. This is what we call the manifest glory. You can experience certain part of God, but you see the Shekinah. The Shekinah never shows up in a life or in a place where God himself has not said, I approve. If the worship of that angel was not approved, that smoke will not come. Let me give you another example. Because as it is in heaven, so is on earth. A young boy suddenly found himself to become king, and he received a mandate to build a temple. And at the dedication of the temple, nobody has done it before. He was the first. So he came before. He did not even know that the high priest and were those who are supposed to to go. He just came, he knelt down. God, heaven and earth cannot come. It was Solomon that made, you know, I always say, but it was the first person who bore my name that said that thing. Heaven and earth cannot contain you. Heaven and earth, like this, as big as this, it's too small for you. Wow. Go and read the prayer of Solomon. Scripture said, light fire from heaven. It was not Elijah that caught fire first. The first fire that fell like that was a validation for that prayer. Do you know he can do it again? Do you know that God can do it again? In our midst, as we gather, he can send life fire. Do you know that the Old Testament saints are not more privileged than us? Do you know that if our hearts are united and in worship to God, do you know that the prayer of you and your wife can bring fire? The scripture said, and fire fell. And all the priests, they ran outside. That means it must have been an engulfing fire. It was not a fire you could stay close to. And I suggest to you, that could be like 100 seraphims coming down at once. Because God did not come down. It could be 100 seraphims. How do we lock into a dimension like this? The first requirement is the fear of the Lord. The way you approach him, I know he's your father, but you must know him as your God and as your king. And when you approach, there are some people you cannot pray with because they don't understand your reverence for God. There are some people you cannot relate with, not because you hate them, but if you say, let us pray, they are too casual. You are like a priest that is possessed by deities. You cannot worship like ordinary men. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That name is too sacred to be used in jokes. That name is too sacred to be used in comedy. That name is too sacred to be used mimicking spiritual things. You know him too well to know he doesn't joke. You know him too well. You know him too well. You tell, say, this thing you are doing, you are crossing the red line. You shouldn't be doing this. Shouldn't be doing this. Not to talk of when comedians and gospel musicians are now doing tag team to mimic spiritual things. Listen to me. Samson did not know that the Spirit of God had left him. He did not know. But the iron may be hot for a while, though. But you see, if you do not repent, I heard the young man came out and was saying rubbish. If you do not repent, that thing you did publicly, you will still come out publicly to say, I repent. You see that thing you did, that you are laughing, speaking in tongues with a comedian and doing all that. I'm happy my dear governor in Lagos State has visited the boy now. He said, you should come and pay tax of 36 million. God bless my governor. Let me deal with that boy. That's my governor. Anybody that offends God, I will be sending you to them. I wish you could come back for third time. Baba Dada, go visit. The boy sat down with a gospel musician that led all of us into worship and was mimicking Yaketa Kapaya. Oh, there's somebody here. He was mimicking live camera. The problem with God is that he may not say anything. But you see, the day you will now crave his attention, we will go back to that matter. But you see, that gospel musician, if it is the God me I know, you will come back publicly and repent. The scripture tells us about these angels, these seraphims. They said even though they reside with God in his throne room, they don't even know what he looks like. Say, with two wings, they cover their eyes. He is too holy to behold iniquity. As holy and as fiery as those angels are, they are still not pure enough for God. So they cover their faces. In our old churches, we will sing, in all the world, Asha. Ogo Asha, Ileke. Ijile Guleshi, our Maridi, Ele Dumare, Ogbe Ogo, Kari Ogo. Alade Ogo, Ma. Kotora sati yabalaka alade ogo ekini je suche o alade ogo. Listen, the call this morning is for true worshippers to rise. Your worship will no longer be passive. You will do it in faith. You will do it in understanding. Oh, a generation will rise in this country again that will disciple nations in worship. And can I tell you? If we refuse, Jesus, our Lord, said he will raise stones. Those stones are little children, people that we think they know nothing, and they will come and teach us what it means to have the heart of a child. Listen, we cannot remain the way we are. We cannot. If it is Jesus we are looking for, we must understand the protocol of heaven. And can I shock you? There is no age barrier. You don't need to be 18 years. If you have the heart of a child and you are sincere, you can bring your song to him and he will take it. I don't know how many worshipers we have here. Alle
lebarato sotaya kata. Into Israel, they initially attempted to bring that temple the wrong way, and one man died because of that recklessness. Then David thought about it. The scripture said David became afraid of God. When Uzziah touched the ark, trying to help God, listen to me, there is a protocol for worship. It is only by mercy that many of us have been ignored by God. Because listen, what many of us do today, and we have made celebrities out of people who are supposed to lead us to God. Being a worship minister has nothing to do with representing man. It has everything to do with representing God. You cannot be a celebrity and a worshiper. You cannot. You will pick one. Listen, hold on. The seraphims who were saddled with the responsibility of worship, their faces were covered. If it were to be today on earth, it's like taking a mask or a face mask. You wear, say before you can stand before the king, you must wear. So this person doesn't even know who the next person is. You have a million worshippers in a concert, in a crusade ground, and they don't even know each other. In other words, if you want to stand before him, you must be faceless. You must be faceless. You can't carry your earthly ranking, your level of importance. You must be faceless but forceful. Your worship must be pronounced. But you lose your face and take his own face. Because God cannot share space. He cannot share glory. This is a requirement. You must walk in the fear of God, and then you must lose your face. Whatever defines you and makes you important, you have to leave it. That's what it means. You cannot be a celebrity and be among the seraphs. You cannot. Because when they recruit you, you only have one song you will sing. It is the holiness of God. When they were coming back to Israel with the ark, then David did something that had never been done before. He got the Levites, the singers, to go ahead, because he must have considered some of his own revelations that God, it was David who told us that God that in his presence is the fullness of joy. It was David that told us in Psalms. Okay, let's practice that. He got a good number of people. You lead the ark. Go before the presence. Go before the throne. Prepare the ground. And then he himself, he didn't cross his leg. He joined them and he danced and he rejoiced. This is not the time for the pastor to be missing him during the praise and worship anymore. This is not the time for us to be serving the ministers chilled drinks and wine. Why the choir are leading people to God? Then the man of God now throws in as if he was the one who came. Esa, we will not continue like that. We will not continue like that. Are you a member of the church? Oh yeah, show up. Are you the one ministering? Be here on time. We don't allow lateness in our church, even if you are the guest minister. We will not allow it again. We want to reverence God. We want to model it. We want nobody in this church is as important as Jesus. If you are important, we will give you a seat somewhere else outside. David danced, but there was a woman who didn't dance. If your husband is dancing, you should be by his side. If your husband is praising God, you should be by his side. And if it was your wife who started it, you should join her. The woman mocked him in her heart that he didn't behave like, I know your problem. It's because you didn't go to our leadership school, the king's leadership school. You are not trained by Saul. You are a king by circumstance. You don't know the culture of the palace. The king is supposed to stand looking glorious. I cannot look glorious. My king is coming. I cannot look glorious. My king is here. There is only one king. And the guy, she mocked him and the guy heard. Let me tell you, God didn't make that woman barren. It's not in the Bible. It was David's decision. If you dishonor my God, I cannot stay with you. That was why the woman died barren. He could not imagine himself allowing that type of a woman to have a child for him. So he stayed away. He didn't shout, he just punished her. You can choose your decision, you cannot choose your punishment. Listen, harvest word, we must arise from the greatest to the least among us. We must come into that corporate sense of understanding that when we are praising God here, we are not waiting for late comers.
Yes, sir.
And when you are praising God, it's the audience of one. You don't care if there's someone beside you. Right now, it's just you and God, Fatima. It's just you and God, Busayo. It's just you and God, Joel. You don't... That's the culture of the house. Because the glory will only come when there are true acts, true utterances, true and authentic praise. If men have ever encountered the holiness of God, most of the messages we preach, we won't need them. But because God no longer attends many churches, He no longer attends many churches. He has left the churches for them. And He's visiting people individually. I'm a child of worship. I'm a creature of worship. I was made to worship Him. I was created to express His glory. I was born for this, to give glory to His name, to bless Him, to adore Him. Oh, thank you, Father, for the release of the spirit of praise and testimony and gratitude. I praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made me. I want you to bless Him from the depth of your heart. Begin to glorify Him. Begin to glorify Him. Begin to glorify Him. Begin to glorify Him. Camarata sita yande calabareta.
Oh,
was a man that Jesus healed. And Jesus saw the man in the temple. After the Pharisees began to castigate him. And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The man said, "Can you show me so that I can worship him?" And Jesus said, "I am he." Listen, the Pharisees are familiar with the Torah. They know the scripture, but they could not recognize Jesus. This man had been sick and blind for so long. But just one visit, he recognized Jesus. The Bible said, the man went flat and bowed down in the midst of the people. And he worshipped Jesus. And Jesus said, for this cause, it was his statement about, he said, for this cause that I came into the world. He said, so that those who think they have eyes will become blind. And those who people say are blind will see. Don't assume that because of someone's social standing, he will know the truth. He may not. Somebody who knew the Torah, the law of Moses, could not identify Jesus. Jesus healed one man. And when he saw him the next time, he said, "This is the man that set me free." And he worshipped him. Your worship must be spontaneous. It must be genuine. It must be heartfelt. Listen to me. God will cut covenant with you when you step into this area. He will begin to have personal agreements with you where you become a true worshiper. Oh, we have many people singing, but God is still searching for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He is still searching. Oh, but today you have found me. Today God has found me. Today God has found me. And I hope he will find you too. Kini Jesus, Alade Ogo, Alade Ogo Mawole. Kini Jesus, Ogo Gari Ogo. Ale Marakata Yele Boroseta, Alade Ogo Mawole.
Sebedi kapara na nako.